The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. My friends, what a beautiful opportunity it is that we have today to celebrate this this feast of Pentecost. We might be inclined to think that there are better conditions to celebrate this feast, like of course in our beloved church and the like. But today we get to be reminded of the force, the power of the Holy Spirit by the good wind that God is sending. And see, this is it. I'm not sure that you realize how strong this wind is, but it's strong enough for me to prepare my preaching. Can you believe it? There is no stronger force in the world. And here we go. Okay, it's the Spirit, my friend. Let me cut to the chase as quick as I can here, because I don't want to overwhelm the main course with the appetizers, you know? I'll wait for the motorcycle brigade to go by. I don't know if you can hear that, but I can't hear myself. There's a parallel here from what we find here in the Gospel of John. And it's the Genesis account. It's the account of creation. Right? The account of creation where God breathes into the nostrils of Adam, allowing him to share in his life. And something I find to invocation is calling to live as priest, prophet, and king. He has to give his whole life to God. Right? This is why man was created, to give his whole life to God and praise and worship, to sum up creation's praise, and then to bring God's love to life in the world. And it is Adam's vocation, and he takes it on with the strength and power of God. And his rebellion against God then doesn't sacrifice that vocation, but leads to disorder in his response to God. His response to God comes up short, or worse, right? To put it mildly. And here, then, in the upper room, here where the disciples are gathered together, Jesus himself enters to breathe new life, to breathe the life of God's love into his body, to animate his body anew. Think about if we can. I know that we may have challenges with this in our kind of everyone's become hypersensory as it relates to human contact, but think about what close quarters they must have been in. Think about how close Jesus gets to his disciples, such that the gospel author accounts he breathed on them. He breathed on them. Is Jesus close enough to us to breathe on us today? Right? He wants to be. And he will be, but will we allow him to be? I think the answer is a resounding yes. Right? Father, why would we have driven to a Walmart parking lot to sit in our car if not for the fact that we want to go to Jesus, and we want today especially to receive a fresh outpouring? Okay, that's right. So Jesus is animating his body with his breath. His spirit is our breath. His spirit is meant to be our breath. Right? Take a deep breath. Right? We're more so than that, more so than you live off of air. We are made to live off of the spirit. What is our life? What does our life look like if we live by the Spirit? If we follow the Spirit's lead? If the Spirit becomes our breath? Well, we have any number of things to look at and see what our lives look like, right? We can see, for instance, the fruit of the Spirit, that we're meant to live lives of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, generosity, faithfulness, and self-control. And we have that only by giving ourselves over to God and living by His Spirit. But if I sum up all those in one, would be love. It's the flourishing of a life that is given over to love for everyone we encounter. That's the fully flourishing human life. Now, this is then also the work of reconciliation. The work, reconciliation in the grand scheme, right, is in the biggest picture, is not simply putting to confess my sins and receiving forgiveness. Okay, even though we've done a lot of that, and I'm glad for it, but that's not the whole thing. Reconciliation in the big picture is God bringing humanity back to life by His love. It's heaven and the rule of heaven coming to earth and taking full possession of our minds and our hearts and our lives. That's the work of reconciliation. It's God's loving us into life. And here in this room where the disciples are gathered, when Jesus entrusts them that mission of reconciliation, they are given the task bring God's love to life in the world. And we, as likewise members of His body, are entrusted with that same task. Now, I'm so glad that actually we have sitting in our front row today, Dr. and Mrs. Solea. Why? I am excited. It's great to thank you for being right here to remind me of this. So the homily that I preached at the wedding mass had some of this flavor. The Spirit is blowing. This is what I want to say. Love cannot wait. That's why they had to get married. Love cannot wait. But it's not a matter of the timing of such significance that although it's significant enough, the idea that love cannot wait means that we have to love today. We have to love now. We cannot put off for a later time the demands of love. Whenever they present themselves to us, we must faithfully take them on. Love cannot wait. And here we see what it means that love cannot wait. Jesus is breathing His own breath into His faithful followers because love cannot wait. He's breathing His breath into His faithful followers because they and we have this great task. We, God through us, wants to love His world back to life. One more note, I promise, that's it. One more note. When Jesus appears as the one who has loved also through death into life, He makes Himself known by His wounds. He makes Himself known by what He has suffered to bring God's love to life. My friends, the same glory awaits us. We're going to have challenges and obstacles as we go out and try to love the world to life. We're going to encounter difficulties. We're going to be frustrated and all the like. We're going to suffer. But it's by our sufferings in pursuing love, no matter the cost, that we will be known. That will be our glory, my friends, while we suffer in the cause of love. So I know that's it. Be bold. Go out and love. Well, go out, go in first, the car, right? Whoever's in love with you, go in and love, and then go out and love, no matter what the cost, no matter what the consequence. Because Jesus is breathing His life. And when we trust and follow Him in all things, loving the people that we encounter all the way through and all the way to the end, we will achieve God's good purposes, renewing the face of the earth.